hostile.
Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanor.
Boy, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, June 11, 2025. Today's episode is rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you.
And the white man is put.
Quick reminder. Oh no! Before I continue, let's do a quick celebration. Let's celebrate each other. And I'm just gonna ask. First, I'm gonna shout out you listeners and ask you to applaud yourselves. Because if you're my target audience, you're likely you probably rarely take the time to acknowledge and say do something nice for yourself. Also, if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! I was going to say, if this is your first time, you got to fight. If this is your first time, welcome. Here's hoping that I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Before I start, I got to remind you, I should have said this at the beginning, but this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. The only part you need to understand that by you hitting play, you're consenting to hear me talk shit. So, you know, think about that before you decide to write in. Okay. Today's episode, titled 273, Not Much to Say. just like the title says, I don't have much to say. Granted, maybe by the time I end this episode, that might be bullshit. I've done this before. Just to elaborate, when I was thinking on what to make today's feature thought on, I was really uninspired. One part was just to lean on one part wanted to lean on this lack of inspiration, and also another part wanted to lean on some self-pity. Turn this into a pity party. So I was leaning towards a pity party, so I'm still sticking to it, but there's going to be a twist to it. So how's that for an unspecific feature thought? So let's just say, here's hoping that you're curious. I'm just creating suspense. Stick around for the feature thought. And by what I mean by stick around is, before we do that, we're going to start with some quotes and some randomness. I'm laughing because I turned off the fan in this room just so I don't have to edit it out. Don't have to edit it out from the final cut. And because you know it was a little chilly in here. Not chilly. It was just less warmer. And now it's warm. Yeah. Details you didn't need to know. Well, whatever, man. That's what this. It's my goddamn podcast. I talk about the things I need to talk about. Okay, first thing we're going to start with is a quote, and this one is by Marianne Williamson. Full disclosure, before when I read a quote and I have the author's name, I usually like to Google the name of the author just in case, you know, I don't want a J.K. Rowling situation, find out that I'm reading the thoughts of a problematic person. And so I Googled Marianne Williamson. And when it comes up, Google comes up, you see her picture and it says what's the word they used? They said the party. And of course, I didn't read. I just looked at the symbol. I'm seeing a donkey. I'm like, oh, fuck, she's a Democrat. Oh, nope, sorry. Democrats are the donkey. Wait, no, I said, fuck, she's a Republican. Because I mixed my donkeys and the elephant. Look, I'm Canadian, all right? I don't give a fuck. I mean, all right? I'm bullshitting. But I mean, I am afforded to, I have a right to be ignorant about American politics. Yeah. Oh my God, focus B. Quote, yes. Marianne Williams said, Ed, today's quote was inspired by my last therapy session. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened by shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. Jesus. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our light, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Damn, man. I know, no, granted, I know that this is one of those quotes that gets thrown around, but in this particular context, it's applicable to things going on in my life. And that fear is real, man. I didn't know about. I mean, I'm still meditating. I'm still marinating this quote. But the more I marinate, the more I'm familiarizing with that fear. So yeah. So shout out to Marianne Williamson. Okay, that's the. Let me just get comfortable. Yeah. So that's All right. So that's it for quotes. Let's jump into some randomness. With vice, I hold the mic device. With force, I keep it away, of course. Okay. All right. So first bit of it. Remember, I don't have much to say. I started out, there was only two items of randomness. Now I have four. But again, I'm sticking with the title. I don't have much to say. Okay, let's start with, I made dinner before recording this podcast. And again, on this podcast, we like to celebrate small victories. Small or big victories, they're all worthy to be celebrated. And this is like my, I think this is going to go in my gratitude journal. In my live gratitude journal. Not the one that I'm writing down. The one that right now, this is here in the midst of me going for my of inserting an item in my gratitude journal. And yeah, I made dinner before recording this podcast. Got off work. Made some dinner for myself because I'm an adult. I'm trying to be an adult. And I think the biggest, what's important is I fought the urge. Okay, this is what's important. One, I fought the urge to go to the grocery store or pick up takeout. Yay! This is like a testimonial. And then, so what I did is I made my own dinner. Now, with full credit, this was a joint venture. I actually, my aunt, she on Sunday, God bless her soul, and I'm emotional as I say this. She, my cousin came to visit and came to town, and then when he came, well, first he went to visit his mom, and then when he came on my way, he goes, "Hey, my mom made you this," and it was like, you know, some traditional Haitian dish, right? And fuck, I was eating it. I mean, I want to say I had tears in my eyes, but my cousin, he's one of those problematic males, so I'm like, so I was holding back tears, but I'm like, oh my God, was I fucking grateful. She made it with love. Anyway, so she made enough that I could, there was two servings in there, so I finished, so I ate the first serving, but it was, so I ate the rest today, and goddamn, that shit was good. Right, so she made, so it was some leftover rice with some chicken that I picked up from, what do you call that? CSA Farm? Am I pronouncing that? CSA Farm? You know, yeah, from the farm. I got it from a farm. It's like freshly made or like freshly killed chicken. CSA, oh, community supported agriculture. That's what CSA for. So yeah, anyway, so before I continue, I want to send a shout out for today's dinner. Right, in this order. First, shout out to my aunt. God bless her soul. She's a sweet, sweet old lady for thinking about me. It's a big deal for me because it's been a while since I've had a family cooked meal. That's a longer story that I will get into in a different episode. But anyway, but it was a big deal because it's been a while and don't get me wrong, I've eaten takeout Haitian food, but this is like for my aunt. I mean, she can cook. I was going through childhood memories, thinking about a simpler time. So shout out to her. Shout out to shout out to my aunt for the rice. Shout out to my air fryer. Why my air fryer? Because that's where I made the chicken that I got from the CSA farm. Shout out to the chickens. Yeah, plural. Chickens that gave their lives to to fill up my fat tummy. I don't know. I'm feeling a little weird saying that because an animal had to be killed so I could eat. I don't usually think about that kind of stuff, but still. Shout out to the chicken. Shout out to the motherfucker who killed him. The farmer, whatever. And last but not least, shout out to me. Shout out to me for, being an adult. Yay! Okay. All right. Next item. Okay, so I went on a walk today, on my usual walk, because I got to get the heart rate going and things like that, you know, getting old, shit like that. Oh my God, I over-explained with me. Okay, so I went on a walk, and on my walk, I noticed, like, I'm going for a parkway, and I just noticed this man, white man. Race is kind of irrelevant for this particular context, but it is irrelevant, but fuck it. Race matters to me. Whatever. All right. So I just saw this man on the side, like in the park, like big open space. And I'm like, it's not a place where people usually sit around. I mean, I guess you could have a picnic, but whatever. But he was just, it just looked different. And he was just sitting there, shirt off, in the sun, enjoying the weather, just enjoying the moment. I'm not sure if he had a radio beside him. But I remember my first thought was, goddamn immigrants, doing shit that people don't usually do. And then my second thought was, damn, that dude looks at peace. Or like he's just like, I envy what he must be feeling. Like he's just no fucks given. I'm just existing. And third was, then my mind went into freedom. See, that's why people died on Normandy Beach for this freedom convoy, whatever. Yeah, and this is a free country, right? So, because my mind doesn't allow me to enjoy thought, so I went from, this is what it's all about. We're living free, and then my mind started to think about the houseless people who are people who just can't afford to do what this man is doing. The people who are like struggling and or going for things, or the people outside of the country who I guess, long story short, it bothers me that we live in a world that in order for a group of human beings to live great, other peoples have to be like, fuck it, have to suffer. So I went from a positive thought to like, wow, look at him, to, man, this world sucks. Sorry, mood killer. Eh? I mean, yeah, I don't know where I was going with this story, but wait a minute. I forget. It's my goddamn podcast. Remember, you're the one who clicked play. All right, okay. All right, next item. Finally, this is what I initially wanted to talk about. First, I want to say shout out to Coco Guff. J'espère que je prononce ça bien là. Guff, G-I-U-F-F. Goff. Is it Goff or Guff? Coco Gauff, the tennis player, And she, what is it? In 2025 Roland Garros Championship. Right? Shout out to her. She won some tennis match against some hateful white woman or some pissed off, a terrible person. Now, so I'm just starting out. I'm shouting out a black woman for doing her thing, for winning things, and you know, and just winning. That's what it's all about. Now, the real reason I'm bringing this story aside, remember, I said shout out to her, respect, and all that. But her victory, oh, I watched the game, by the way. Links are in the show notes. I watched the game, her playing against whoever the fuck, what's her name? Arena, some white chick. And some angry white chick. And it was exciting just watching the round between the two and like these determined human beings going at each other. And you could tell no one wanted to lose. Like they were putting their asses out there. They were like, it was a game. It was a game and it was exciting. And then boom, she won. Maybe it helps that I knew how the game was going to end. So maybe that's why I enjoyed it. But yeah, so I won't lie. The segment that it's in the show notes was I enjoyed it. Now I give you this long ass setup just to start by saying, I fucking hate sports. No, back up. That's not true. Let me back up. Sorry. I apologize. I know some of y'all are sensitive about sports, so my apologies. Feel free to write in your angry letters. Growing up, I hated sports. Bear with me. There's a context to this. Growing up, I hated sports. Playing it more than watching it. Okay? Yeah. Why? It doesn't help the fact that, yeah, playing it more than watching it. With the exception of maybe, remember, I live in Canada. A lot of black people going to be frustrated when I'm about to say that. With the exception of hockey and maybe basketball. But I sucked at basketball. But anyways, getting back. I hated sports growing up because I sucked at it. Every sport, where it was street hockey, soccer, whatever the fuck, I was that kid. They were like, nah, you take me black. No, you take me black. Fuck. Fine, I'll take me black. And they're like, yo, try not to fuck this up. So needless to say, I associated sport with something I couldn't do. I wasn't meant to be good at. Watching it is a different story. Like I said, hockey and maybe basketball. Okay, and then soccer. So soccer and basketball, like they're tied with each other. I'll watch that shit. Everything else, fuck that. Football, it's complicated. I don't get it. But tennis. Okay, baseball is probably at the bottom of the list of shit that, yeah, fuck that, gunpoint. You're gonna have to kill me to make me watch this shit. But tennis is probably just a step higher from it, right? But tennis got interested when black women started to win that shit. So I'm like, you know, wait, angry white folks? Hold on, now I gotta watch this shit now. I'll just watch it just to piss off white people. Anyway, so where am I going with this? Okay, context. So growth. Again, on this podcast, I like to talk about growth. So I will admit, so when I got older, I started to understand part of the reason. Well, okay, so I did start watching hockey, you know, hockey, basketball, for the bandwagon, the camaraderie. No, hockey was for, like, going in the bars, watching the game, and, yo, my team's it, whatever, right? Hoping for the Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. Never happens, but it was a dream worth pursuing. And basketball, I just loved hearing. The only thing I liked about basketball is I just enjoyed hearing, and football too, enjoying hearing the people speak about it in the barbershop. It was just, I don't know, I got a thing out of it. I got a kick out of it, right? And, oh my God, focus. Yeah, so what I'm getting at is it's finally when I got older, I started to realize it's not just about, like, sports. Some people enjoy sports is the excellence, the commitment to excellence by these athletes, the determination, the like. There's something inspirational. Some people, there's an accountant out there who may have looked at Tiger Woods or whatever, or Coco Gauff, and said, like, yes, I'm going to persist like she did. So I started to understand the, okay, I get it. Okay, right, right. Some of you look at these athletes. You're not just, you know, riding their dicks. You're just, you like, they're inspired. You'll be inspired by the way they play, by their victories, their training, the same way I would have been inspired back in the days by a sermon, by a great preacher, or a good motivational speaker. I used to be big into that. So I started to understand that for some people, it's a inspirational thing. And so I started to understand that part. Why, again, I went from accepting that other people don't like sports, and but I went from I hate sports, so everyone should else should hate sports, to now like I get it. I slowly get it, but I'm still not playing that motherfucking shit. So I feel like this is like an evolution of how I appreciated sports. Still hate it. Don't get me wrong. Still hate it. But okay. When I think about my hatred for sports, especially playing it, I was thinking about the, I was thinking about Coco Guff playing Arena, what the fuck, whatever her name is. Where's she from? I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to, whatever, right? And I heard about the press conference. Again, my feed, my timeline's been like, been sending me all kinds of messages about the game. And, you know, for the sake of conversation, I'm going to play the press conference. So after Coco Guff won the game, here's her opponent, Arena Sabalenka. That's got to be, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate where she's from. But she's from definitely from the Caucasian Mountains. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I'm going to play her opponent, Coco Guff's opponent, talking about the game.
Well, yeah, I have to say in the past 2 weeks I played really tough matches, really incredible players, and I played definitely better level than in the final. It was really, honestly, the worst tennis I played in the last months, and the conditions were terrible, and she simply was better in these conditions than me, and I think it was the worst final I ever played. Well, yeah, I have to
there you're hearing a late an athlete talk about how did someone explain it? It goes, I would have won if I didn't lose. the poor sport, is it sportsmanship? Being a poor sport. And I'm realizing that I think my hatred for sport is the fact that I was surrounded by people like that. I get to a certain extent, because I'm not top tier athlete, but I get the desire to win. But at all costs? Like, to the point where the desire to win, to the point you have like a shitty attitude like that. One thing I never realize growing up is when you're playing a game, there's two victories. There's the victory like Coco Guff got recently, and there's also the one of like second place is, can you keep a fucking good attitude about it? Like, the way she reacted is worse than losing. Where I'm going with this is the people who like formed, who I blame for me growing up hating sports is people who were like, it's only about winning. Like, they weren't competitive as fuck, right? Yeah, growing up, I never understood being competitive, but you know, but it can be what's the word I'm looking for? A quality, but make you an asshole. A fucking asshole. It's that kind of attitude that made it hard for me to understand that, okay, you can't have fun doing this shit. But when you're surrounded by some competitive assholes who are like, y'all, nah, you take this fucking losers. It just makes the whole sport, like, it's like, are you having fun or are you just like trying to like, try to love the part of you that was never loved? You know what I mean? It's like, stop being a fucking, like, you know, I know they exist out there. I just never encountered those kind of people who like, they play to win, but they bring everyone with them. Like the team is like enjoying the game. It's like I'm trying to draw the line between being competitive and not being an asshole about it. So in this particular situation, I know it hurt her heart to have lost. I know that. But that fucking attitude combined with the white skin, because that sounds way too much like, fuck, I lost to a nigger. Fuck. How am I gonna face my white family? Fuck. We were supposed to burn a cross for my victory, and now we were supposed to light up a few tiki torches over my victory, but now how am I gonna face my family? They're gonna disown me. I was better off having a baby with a black guy. It would have been less shameful. Anyway, I guess this segment is just about, it's a middle finger, people with shitty attitude, people, not just sore losers, but just the people who just make the sport not fun for others. You know what I mean? Like, would have killed this chick to be like, yo, she won, I lost, period. She put on a good game. Look, I was looking at these two, and I could tell both of them were like, yo, you are not ripping this victory away from me. Combined, like, you know, they play. None of them gave the victory up. Coco, like, I was looking at Coco Gauff. Like, every time she would win, she'd be like, yes. Yeah. Like, I could tell she was like, on this game, we fight for that inch. That was a bad Al Pacino impression. But I could tell it was like, okay, first sport. Like, she was, like, in the zone, in the moment. It was a beautiful, yo, that shit was poetry, man. Not poetry. It was, like, beautiful to watch. Maybe it was poetry, but it was just, she was taking nothing for granted. She, like, prayed for this game. She, like, trained for this game. She's, like, she gave her all in there. It was amazing to watch. Yo, I fucking hate sports. But I love watching this lady. I enjoyed watching this lady play. Had she lost, there would have been no doubt in my mind she gave her fucking all. Then I'd been like, yo, check this white chick for cheating. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. It's my goddamn podcast. All right, but it was a great game watching. And again, shout out to Coco Gauff. Thank you for being an inspiration to a little sinner like me. Okay, let me look at the time. All right, okay. All right. So remember, I don't have much to say. And because I don't have much to say, I'm going to skip the, I'm going to wrap this up. Yeah, I'm going to say this next item for another episode. And remind me to tell you about my slow song conspiracy. You know, yeah, that's, there we go. This is called that suspense. So I'm going to skip that, and we're going to jump into feature thought. Okay? All right. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. How they really be discouraging a little old sinner like me. A little old sinner like me. I'm back. I was, during the break, I was listening to Made Up My Mind by Life Jennings. Because that's what I was trying to... What did I say again? Oh, making her game inspiring for a little old sitter like me. Yeah. Okay. All right. Again, may I remind you, I don't have much to say. But then again, this is like calling up your own podcast, shut up, and then bata joel. Okay, this is what I'm going to do different. I'm going to read out to you what I wrote down, and I remember being stuck It's like I was uninspired, and I said the only thoughts that come to mind were tough dilemmas. I should reiterate that feature thought was inspired by my last therapy session, which I refuse to go into details of what happened, what I talked about. She's not ready yet. You know, I have these moments. And the quote by Marianne Williamson. Did I get her name right? Marianne Williamson that I read earlier. And I wrote down tough dilemmas. And tough dilemmas. I want to do comedy, but the thought of going into a fucking bar, waiting for my time to get up there, because, you know, sometimes, whatever, go. The thought of leaving my comfortable home, the thought of my comfortable solitude and being around fucking people, some I might like and some I may not like, some I'm just going to tolerate, their presence will be a pleasure. Yeah, I'm being negative. Okay, focus me. But the thought of, because I'm going to start doing open mics. I'm not going to go to the main show. But the thought of going into a fucking bar fills me up with dread. I hate going out. I love my solitude, me and this little microphone. I want a podcast. And this was a conversation. This, again, stems from the last therapy session. I want to do this podcast, find materials to talk about. But the fucking internet is getting toxic. See, I've been noticing that there's been less content that I'm willing to talk about these days. And I think it's because I've been scrolling less on the internet. Oh, no, that's not true. I've been finding things, but they were just never things that I wanted to talk about. None of them were inspired me. Like, I was saving shit, but I want a podcast, but internet is getting fucking toxic. And the reason I realized this is how I realized this is that a conversation with my therapist, and she was like, whatever. I think I ended up for the millionth time saying, yeah, and then I saw this post and it fucked up my day and blah, blah, blah. You know, the obvious conclusion, it's like, hey, bro, how about you take a break from the internet? And then I was like, get your hand off my crack pipe. There was a sense of like, yeah, it was equivalent to being told like I'm about to like about to put a needle in my vein. sorry, I'm thinking of that scene in Malcolm X when he was Detroit Red, when Malcolm X was in prison and he's putting that conch in his hair, and the dude from the Nation of Islam is trying to talk about putting conch in his hair. Malcolm X. Denzel Washington's character. Malcolm X has the conch in his hair, and he's got to brush it because it's burning his fucking hair. His hair. And the Muslim guy is holding his hair. He goes, why you put that white man bullshit in your hair? And Denzel Washington, perfect actor, goes, nigga, get your hands off me. You can sense, hey, asshole, I ain't trying to hear this shit right now. It's burning my hair. Anyway, yeah, so that's how I felt like. I felt like my therapist was like, who are you putting that white man bullshit in your hair? So, nigga, hit your hands off me. I don't call my therapist the N-word. I don't call her bad things. This is me expressing negative, you know, I'm respectable. This is me expressing an emotion, like how extreme it was. Anyway, so how about you take some time off the internet? Apparently there's a feature on my Android that I can use to, a friend of mine was telling me about that. There's a feature on your Android. She's using it. And to limit your time on social media. I'm like 2 hours a day. I'm like, are you out your mind? Oh my God. Fuck you. I'm like, yeah, man. I felt like I was being told like, give up the crack now. And what gets me is, I'll get back on subject, but what gets me is how I went from, I'm not going to go into details, but I used to consume brain-numbing drugs. Not that bad. Not that brain-numbing. But it was enough to get my dopamine hit from. Then I'm like, drugs are bad. Next thing you know, it was porn. No, actually, it was porn. Then it was drugs. Then it was drugs and porn. And then, but I remember it was like my dopamine hit. Then I'm like, y'all, okay, then I'm, it's unhealthy. And then next thing you know, I'm fucking using the internet for my dopamine fix. It's like, it's my new unhealthy way of coping. So my last therapy session was all about how, hey, maybe you should try meditating. And I'm like, maybe you should shut the fuck up. Here's your money. Yeah, I say dilemma, but the contradiction. So you have, okay, maybe that's not, that doesn't compare to me not wanting to go to the bar, but I'm just saying I think what I was really getting at is I want a podcast, but I'm not willing to do the things to make this a successful podcast. That's what this whole point was. I took a side detour to talk about how, shit, the internet is toxic, but really the point I was trying to make is want a podcast, but I'm not willing to do the things to make it popular. What the fuck? Hold on. I don't even like talking? Why the hell did I write that for? Oh, that must have been a typo. Yeah, sometimes I write shit and don't focus. So that's the dilemmas, right? It's like you, I want one thing, but not willing to do the things to make it happen. Oh, right. Okay. Yesterday, by the way, gang, for those of you, shout out to those of us who survived ChatGPT crashing. Shout out to you folks who didn't show up to work because ChatGPT wasn't working. It was crashed. Anyways, so I, oh my God, off the, I was having a conversation. Wow, that sounds a little weird. That's me, it's your goddamn podcast. All right, okay. Remember, you hit play. some of us do that, right? I was having a virtual conversation, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I was in an exchange with this machine. And I was joking. It started with a joke about how, Jesus Christ. I did tell you I didn't have much to say, didn't I? All right, okay. So I had a conversation with this thing, this AI, I don't know if I want to call it, whatever, AI, and started as a joke. I'm like, hey, heard you had an outage today. It was supposed to be a joke. Like, you had an outage. How you doing? You know, like a human being. Heard you were out and stuff like that. This motherfucker is like, yeah, I was out. What do you want? No. This is what I said. I think I said, are you back? I think I said, are you online? That was my first question. He goes, yes. What do you want? How can I help you? And I'm like, and then I elaborate. I'm like, technically, by human standard, you kind of went into a coma. And then came back. Then, you know, finally, stupid thing started to laugh, figured out that I was making a joke. Like, fucking Johnny Five here, wake up. Anyways, this is, oh my God, this is a long ass setup. The point is, while having that conversation, I remember I asked it about the outage, what caused it, systematic, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, is this the kind of outage where people get fired for it? And I won't read the response, but essentially I love the response about how, you know, yes and no. But what's important, where the conversation I ended up having was how I found myself revealing that how at my work, I joke about, I have this joke that it's like, yo, I'm grateful. What I'm grateful about this job is that when I make a mistake, it doesn't make the news. Now, it's a joke. But it's actually, it's one of those, it's meant to laugh to keep me from crying. Because deep down in my soul, I actually wish I was doing the kind of work that mattered. Now, sure, there's a bit of like glory in there. There's a bit of like, you know, is that, I don't know if it's narcissist or like, what's that word? I don't know if it's arrogance. I don't know, the thing where, yes, I want to be able to say, oh shit, you were involved. I have a friend who, she was, when Obama was first term, was running for president. Yo, homegirl was a fan. She drove to Chicago to help with the campaign. That to me, and I was like, I was fascinated at how amazing it must have been to work on that campaign. Because your work fucking matters. No, don't get me wrong. Like, my work, I mean, you know, it pays the bills. You know what I mean? It allows me to pay for all this equipment. I'm, you know, I should be grateful. Stop laughing. I should be grateful. Why the fuck am I laughing? But it doesn't feel, it don't feel significant. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's better now than it was before, because the last time I remember I was working and it felt like, oh, everything I do, my waking hours, just some asshole director on top of me can get their bonuses. I show up to work so white people can tell themselves that I have a black coworker, so I'm not racist. It felt like so fucking meaningless. I remember having this one job. It was so bad. I've worked in a lot of toxic environments. I remember it was so bad. How bad was it? That one morning I was walking to work and I was staring at the buses zooming by. Like in Ottawa, we have a street reserve. Do we still have? Yeah, reserved strictly for buses. And during peak hours, you could see buses zooming by. And I remember staring at those buses and telling myself, you know, if I get hit by one of those buses, I don't have to show up to work. And I remember this was like my early 20s. I'm like, oh, okay. And that's when, because I was in my early 20s, more ambitious, more gutsy, willing to take risks. But I was like, fuck that, I'm quitting this job. I actually did. I actually had more faith back then. But I remember I quit that job because, I was telling people, because I was eating the same goddamn apple fritter, the same coffee, the same routine. Oh, dude, it was driving me nuts. Oh, man, the more I think about it, yeah, man, I was like at a low. Like, think about my job was like, that's what it is. My jobs have been the relationship with a partner that you just tolerate because you can't convince yourself you can do better. Your abusive partner because you can't convince yourself you can do better. So the job I have now, it's not abusive, but she ain't that hot. She alright. No. Actually, she's hot. But fuck, I'm miserable. I'm not miserable, but I'm not happy. That's what I'm trying to say. Not that I expect her to give me happiness, but I am not feeling like me and this person are like living our best lives together. Like I'm like, okay, well, it's a lot of different when you have a job. So I was going to say myself, you know, I feel like I'd do better off being single, but you know, I need this job. But yeah, no, it was the realization that it's scary. It's the realization that, like, comedy brought me passion when I was doing comedy. But now I'm, like, trying to get back to it. But every time I think about, fuck, I got to be around people. Fuck. I got to, like, pretend to like food. I got to pretend to, like, I got to risk some, because I live in, like, in a white city, some asshole white person. You know what black people need to do? Like, oh man, just the thought is. So it's like the feeling, I guess what inspired being uninspired. See, here's the thing is, I know for a fact that I always have something to say. 9 times out of 10, when if I do have writer's block, it's either, it's usually a result of, yeah, no, you do have something to say, but it's like you just don't want to say it. There's something preventing you from, maybe it's just way too sensitive for you to talk about. So what I'm realizing yesterday when I was feeling uninspired, it was really more that I didn't want to speak about this I'm at the crossroad and I'm stuck in limbo. Limbo is a state I don't funk around in. So that's a X-Clan line. Anyway, yeah, so I feel like choice, again, I want something, I'm just not willing to do the things to get them. And this is where the self-pity came in, because I was like, oh, poor me. Oh, man, I'm suck. I suck. And, yeah, and part of where the self-pity came, because it was the conversation I was having with this AI thingy. And when I finally got to, yeah, man, I'm I got a job, but nothing good. The only thing good about it is the salary. And I that would suck if my employers listened to this. Okay, all right. Looks like you need to like get fired. Hold on, maybe if I get fired, no, I'm too old to join a gang. Okay, focus, B. All right, so where's the time? Oh my God, I'm talking over. Hey, remember? I ain't got much to say. So that was bullshit. So let me just try to wrap this up. Let me just conclude this. Again, my podcast, I don't offer solutions. I am not a it sounds like I'm preaching, but I'm really like thinking out loud. I'm speaking out loud. I preach what I practice. I talk about the shit that I know. A lot of it is shit that you shouldn't do. But right. But yeah, so I'm just in this rut. I remember feeling in this rut, and then from there, a part of me was like, hey, let's have a pity party. We should have a pity party. And this is why, if you go in the soundtrack, if you go in the soundtrack section of my show notes, below other links, there's I went into my music player, my music streamer, YouTube Music, and it allows you to create a radio. They have this new DJ feature, and I was like, and I said, play music to feel self-pity to. And it created a playlist called Woe Is Me. And yo, felt good. Fuck. Great pity party. Great. I went to bed with a great pity party. I didn't cry, but it was a great pity party. I was like, oh, poor me. I'm stuck. I'm not going to be. See, another thing about me is I always like, and this is a constant beef with me and my therapist, is I'm like, lady, I'm fucking cursed. And then she keeps like, challenging. No, you're not. You know, this chick is Haitian. How the fuck do you not believe in curses? Sorry, focus, B. Anyway, yeah. So I'm like, I want to stay in this. I don't want to look at solutions. I want to stick in. I'm fucked. The world sucks. God is fucking with me, and it's gonna keep fucking with me. I want to stick with that belief. And she's trying to like untangle that shit. I'm every once in a while I'll fight her for it. I'm like, nah, leave me alone. Anyways, but thank God I bait her, because she would have kicked me out. Anyway, so I, so I'm aware of the problem. And so I, when I was done with this AI tool, it was like, hey, do you want to talk about solutions? And I was like, fuck you. Let me sit in this. And that's how I ended up with this topic of, I don't have much to say, which was a big bullshit. Now, I did promise there's a twist to it, to the story. I, so again, woke up, I'm like, hey, let's continue this pity party. And, I set up the work, log in, about to do my thing, earn this paycheck, because I'm an adult, and then, blink, check my email. I'm like, oh, wow, got an email in my Shut Up Podcast folder. I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, assume it was, you know, I'm like, clicked on the subject, I see the subject, okay, great, more junk mail, and I read this thing. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is, because first I want to make sure I'm not being punked. I'm being pranked. But I got a request for someone who's very popular on the internet, who's not popular. In my circle, in my world of the internet, they're like a big deal. And someone from their admin team reached out and said, hey, would you be interested in having this person as a guest? And I remember thinking, I wish I hadn't drank coffee, because like last thing I need, I was like, my heart rate was like, fuck yeah! But again, I won't tell you who this person is. Hopefully, next episode, I'll tell you whether it was bullshit. But right now, I need to confirm I'm not fucking being pranked. And all I will say is, because I was confused on how I got on the radar, but all I will say is, the person, representative who reached out, the person that might be, might have an opportunity, of interviewing, is someone whose TikTok video I played and talked about on an episode. And I'm not sure if it's a, I think it's an AI tool that might have reached out, the admin tool might be, but because it just makes no, again, I need to make sure this is not bullshit because it makes, there's zero sense to how I got on this person's radar. But anyway, so my point is this person, this email ruined my pity party. Because then my brain started to go into like possibilities. And this, and then this ties back to that quote that I read. And my therapy session is because I'm so convinced and shit's not going to work out. It's just the worst case scenario. And she was like, what if it doesn't? That's like telling me, so shout out to Coco Gauff. That's like I can be a tennis champion like Coco Gauff with my fat ass. You know what I mean? And just anyway, no. Okay, let me just look. Again, they started with a pity party. That's why in my other in my show notes, there's my morning started with a pity party. That's why in my show notes there's a link to something, to a clip that made me laugh, and it was the only time that I laughed that morning. That's why I'm sharing it. But and then it ended with me saying, oh, yo, I might have a guest who's kind of a big deal. And and this person has their own podcast, which, by the way, I checked out actually before recording this podcast. And it was actually interesting. So to be continued. I'm going to leave this one as to be continued. And this wraps up today's podcast episode with me with nothing much to talk about. Stop fucking laughing. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And shutuppodcast.com website. Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is email address. Now remember, before you get ready to sign in and talk to me about all the shit I shouldn't have said, I want to remind you that this podcast, it was a safe space for my thoughts. And they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.